My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris is on medical leave. Joining us right now, welcoming her to Birdland, the Orioles' new president of business operations. She is Katie Griggs. Good morning to you, Katie.
Good morning.
Katie, first of all, you know, welcome to Birdland. Could you tell our listeners exactly what the role is of the president of business operations?
Yeah, it's a little bit tough to do that in a short amount of time, but the long version short is my job is to make sure that the players have what they need, the fans have what they need, and we can represent this community and win some ball games.
It's interesting enough, like when we're sitting here talking about this stuff, one of the things I'm kind of curious about, are you guys going to have any special guests throwing out first pitches that can actually make the ball to the plate?
Miss
or no?
You. Shut up.
You know, it's pretty tricky, and I wouldn't advise standing on the bump while trying to do it. But no, we've got a lot of fun stuff coming up. We got our fan appreciation weekend next weekend, and we should have a lot of fun stuff. And randomly selected fans actually have a chance to throw out that ceremonial first pitch, so we can see how they do.
All right, now this is the thing that everybody wants. So we're here with Katie Griggs, president of business operations for the Baltimore Orioles. What kind of giveaways are we having next weekend for fan appreciation?
Well, on Saturday, we've got a Gunnar Henderson t-shirt, so that should be fun. And then as it's getting a little chilly, Sunday, we got a crew neck sweatshirt so you can stay warm. Friday is a lot of fun. We'll have fireworks to celebrate the evening, and it's a lot of fun for families and anyone around.
Yeah, one of the things that we all know, and it's been a while since we've had this type of success where you expect to be in the postseason year after year, but having the fans come out. They've come out and been great during that postseason run the past few years. Your thoughts on fans coming out during Fan Appreciation Week for all this?
Oh, we hope to welcome them to the ballpark. I think one of the things that we perhaps don't talk about enough is the role of the fans and the impact they can have on the field. Like, our players feed off that energy. So when fans pack the park, they're bringing the noise, they're bringing the excitement, they're bringing the energy. The players feel that. And it really does make a difference in terms of wins and losses. It's something we hear all the time from players. And so really hoping our fans show up, they're loud, and we have a fantastic final regular season weekend of baseball.
Here with Katie Griggs, president of business operations for the Baltimore Orioles. Katie, you're not new to baseball. What impressed you about this Baltimore Orioles organization? And what, you know, have you learned some things about this organization in your short time here?
Look, it's no secret. This is a really good team. It's got great players now. Got a bunch of great players who are coming up through the system. So I'm really excited not only about what there is today, but what's ahead of us. But more importantly, this is an incredible community. And the role that this team plays for this community is, I feel very privileged to have a role in protecting that and building it and ensuring that we can make sure that this team and this community are represented to the best of our ability.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I know everybody cares about the wins and losses, but even going back to some of the things with down years, I've always felt like this organization has been involved in the community and done a ton, whether it's the vans and going around and seeing people. Like, there's just so many different things when you're seeing players out and about and doing stuff, and I think it's exceptional.
No, I mean, look, our guys, they really care. And at the end of the day, there'd be no team if it weren't for our fans, right? The reason we do this is for our fans. The reason that we do this is to bring pride to our community and to win games and make folks happy. It's kind of cheesy, but at the end of the day, it's not very complicated. That's it. And so for us, it starts and ends with fans.
You know, Katie, you know all about young superstars. You got Mr. Rodriguez. You had him out there in Seattle. I think that guy is going to be, he's a generational talent. He's going to be phenomenal. But you got a couple of guys here, namely Gunnar Henderson. Your thoughts about Gunnar Henderson, not only as a baseball player, but as a guy who could be, you know, kind of your cornerstone and your face of the organization moving forward.
I think we got a lot of really talented guys, including Gunnar. I mean, clearly he's been on a heater lately. But it's something where anytime you have those young homegrown players, they have a connection to the team. They have a connection to the city. I mean, this is where they're coming up. And obviously, anytime you have an opportunity to have them engage and have them be the face, that's fantastic.
You know, the other thing, I just want to go back to something we talked about. You can use the video of Rob's first pitch as a tutorial of what not to do for any of these fans that win a chance to throw the first pitch.
Katie, you laugh a little bit too hard there.
You know what? Hey, there's a reason I haven't done it.
Oh, man.
It's a reason I shouldn't have.
Nah, man, no matter what. Like, and again, I love busting his chops, but that day in specific, and the fact that that video did go viral and people got to see how bad of... No, people got to see what this was all about. Like, I love busting his chops, but I love the guy, and what he was out there for is more important than, you know, talking about that pitch.
But yet you continue to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm going to continue to talk about it because I have to. People expect me to.
Katie Griggs joining us, president of baseball operations. Katie, this is my thing. Growing up in inner city Baltimore, which I did, West Baltimore, baseball was number one to me. I remember going to Easterwood Park, drawing a box on the building, and that's graffiti, and I hope the statute of limitation is beyond me, but playing wall ball. And somewhere along the line, we got away from baseball, especially the inner city. How do we bring or make baseball, because I think baseball's popularity has picked up. Is it a conscious effort of this organization to make baseball something that's accessible and fun again for kids in the cities?
Very much so. And to your point, I don't think baseball ever stopped being fun, but the accessibility was a real issue. And the reality is we didn't do a good enough job making sure everyone felt included and had the opportunity to play. If you look at youth sports, I mean, it's no secret, particularly as kids get older, the pay-to-play system, it's expensive. It makes things hard for a lot of families that have kids that want to play baseball or softball. And so it's something that we take very seriously. It's something that's a core portion of what we do from a community engagement is we want every single child, male or female, to fall in love with the sport and have the opportunity to play if they would like to. So it's something that very much is a focus for us, and we're excited to continue to build on those efforts.
All right, Katie, it's your last shot. Tell fans how important it is to get out there to Fan Appreciation Weekend.
Y'all need to get out there. Support the club. Bring the noise. It's going to be an exciting weekend of baseball, and hopefully we'll be making it for a big postseason push. So hope to see you guys all out there.
For people that don't remember, like, I was there for that first playoff game against the Tigers and how cool it was.
Ooh.
But I saw that stadium rocking during that Delvin Young play, and it looked like it was moving, and it was one of the coolest things to see. Like, granted, opening day, you know people are going to be there, but a lot of people are there for the party. That is opening day. But in the playoffs, it's all about baseball.
It's about the game. Hey, Katie, thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks, y'all, for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Katie is very energetic.
Yeah.
I like that. Very energetic.
A good audience I had there. Huh? It's a good audience I had there to make fun of you because I guess people at the yard appreciate it.
Oh, they know about it.
Because I get texts from them all the time. I don't tell you this, but when I'm on, the Oriole Bird sometimes texts me too. Mr. Splash, everyone gets down and is like, hey, man, make sure you beat up Rob for this. I was like, I got you.
Mr. Splash does that?
Yeah, Mr. Splash.
And the Oriole Bird.
Yep.
Damn, man. Who's on my side?
No, you're on your side.
Who's on my side, man?
You. That's it. You know my favorite thing about this, too, is like you opened the door for it because you were like you had a chance to laugh about it. But you know I'm the type of person where it's an uncomfortable situation. I want to be the one that makes the joke that has everyone going, did he just say that? Like, to get everybody laughing. And because this was all about ALS, which is way more important than anything else we're going to do, talk about. But that would have been my, like, I would have been the guy in the room that went, we got to bring up something else real quick. That pitch.
As I was walking to Brandon Hyde, everybody saw the hug. But what people didn't know, he said, yeah, good thing I scooped that one. Oh, man. I'm like, yeah, we appreciate it, man. And what people didn't see, the thing that nobody's picked up on, I don't think they picked up on, the Oriole bird was an umpire. The Oriole bird called a strike on a pitch.
That's, I mean, it's his strike zone.
He called a strike.
Did I ever?
So while you all are talking trash, I threw a strike.
I tell you the story about my son. He was playing Little League Baseball. He was a pitcher. So he's pitching. And then the umpire, the ball bounces in front of home plate and comes up, and the umpire's like, ah! And I said, the ball bounced in front of the plate. How can it be a strike? And he goes, it's my strike zone. I said, take your drunk ass to the batter's box. This is over at Perry Hall Middle. And I'm like, take your drunk ass to the batter's box. We all know you spent some time there before you came here, Santa Claus looking ass. And now I look like the guy. Oh,
boy. The batter's box. Yeah. Man, are they still open?
I don't know. It's a nice little spot, though, on Blair Road.
Mike Bordick joins us at 8:45. But on the other side is the barbershop topic of the day. The O's are 40-40 since June 10th. 40-41 now after a 42-22 start. But which team are they really? The one for the first 64 or the last 80? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. Barbershop topic of the day on the Fan. Barbershop topic of the day. The Birds, man, they started off like a whirlwind. 42-22, 20 games over 500. Now, for the last 81 games, they're a game under 500. They find themselves 19 games overall over 500. Right? It is 19, right? The math says.
Is your math mathing?
So, who is this team right now? Are they the team that started the season, Jeremy Kahn, or the team that we're watching right now?
Is it a combination of both? Can I answer that question when they get all their players back? If they get all those guys back? Because I think, I don't know if there's enough time to try to catch that lightning in a bottle and get hot again. But we've all said this about baseball. You know, momentum is next day's starting pitcher. And again, if you're trotting out your three guys and they're healthy and they're pitching like they're capable of, being Burns, Rodriguez, and Eflin in no particular order.
Yeah.
I think you can beat anybody in baseball. But the caveat is, like, I'm not worried about the pitching. I'm worried about the bats, which sounds so weird to say, because we have too many games against subpar pitchers where you're watching them going, what's happening? Why can't we hit with runners in scoring position? You know, like, what happened to Adley? It's kind of tough to watch some of this stuff and see what's going on. And it's not like Adley's... Look, he hasn't been good for a while now, but overall his numbers aren't bad.
But his numbers started off so good.
It's not the type of season you're expecting Adley to have. So, I mean, I'm not trying to sidestep this. I think they can beat anybody in the American League and get to the World Series. But I understand how people don't feel good about what they're seeing right now and expect it to change. But again, we've said this all along. Go back and look at what Houston was hot, slowed down a little bit. They've still been good. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. You look at what the Yankees have been doing. They were able to win last night, and over the weekend against the Cubs, it was a little dicey, you know, like not a lot of scoring there. Fans were upset that Jason Dominguez wasn't up, and now he's called up. They're tired of seeing Alex Verdugo. Ironically, it's almost like the Ramon Urias thing when they were calling up Kobe Mayo or they were calling up Jackson Holiday.
Verdugo went with y'all last night.
That's what I'm saying. So it feels like that. Remember when they were like, hey, you got to get rid of Ramon. And all of a sudden they call somebody up and Ramon starts hitting like nobody's business. So, yeah, Verdugo touched up last night. But, you know, I don't know. Like, you're looking at these teams and I think there's so many similarities. It's just going to be, who can hit with runners in scoring position in the postseason, I think, is going to win. And I know that's kind of a blanket statement.
That's not a blanket statement. That's true. I mean, postseason is all about clutch hitting. You don't know where you're going to get it from. You know, a lot of times you don't know. You don't have no idea. Some star rises. Sometimes stars are the ones that get it done. When you have Manny Ramirez and guys like that in your lineup with the Boston Red Sox. But sometimes guys come out of nowhere who you don't even know, and they become a postseason star.
The only place that it's going to be comfortable to hit home runs in the postseason with the way that it's shaping up now is going to be Houston. Baltimore, it's going to be cold. New York, it's going to be cold. Cleveland, Kansas City. I mean, you think about all the different places you could wind up playing. Minnesota, you know, like
Minnesota.
Minnesota's now got an outdoor stadium. You want to play there in October? Hell no.
I don't want to play there. I've been there in June. Ain't like that.
Man,
that ballpark is pretty beautiful.
It is. But you look at all the Latin ball players in April when they're dressed up like ninjas and you can't see anything but their eyes. You're going to see a bunch of players like that in the playoffs. And I mean real ninjas. I'm not.
Okay.
Don't,
right.
I saw the way all your right. eyes were going.
Wait.
No, I didn't.
Were you?
Like a ninja.
Wait. All right. Joe smiled too.
Joe just whispered in my ear, Joe, ninja please. I was like, what?
Joe looked at you and gave a thumb all the way out the door.
It was like in Gladiator, Joaquin Phoenix. And he's like,
huh. Well, you said it, my. Like,
no, you know what I meant. Come on.
I get that cold weather gear out. Last year during the playoffs, I got that cold weather gear out.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to have a lot of
guys. It's just stand on the field. Okay. It's cold on that field.
The reason I bring that up is it's tougher to hit home runs in cold weather. It just is. So you can look at these ballparks and then you add wind into it. Yeah, I don't. It's you can't be reliant on solely on the home run, especially when you're playing all these teams that are in the East Coast and Midwest.
That's why I like Ryan Mountcastle. Ryan Mountcastle finds a way without hitting a home run. He is turned into that hitter. That if you give me one that I know I could turn on, I'm turning on it. However, if not, I'm going to just go ahead with the pitch. Go the opposite way. I think the wall has hurt him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
more than anything.
I mean, look, right-handed bat that hits for power, that wall is going to hurt anyone. I don't know if you saw, like, somebody did a comparison of all of Aaron Judge's home runs, comparatively speaking, to Bobby Witt, what does Bobby Witt hit? Does he have 38 home runs?
I think he's up there.
So maybe he's not up. So conversely, if Bobby Witt was playing in New York, he'd have 38 bombs, right? If Aaron Judge was playing in Kansas City, he'd have 38 bombs.
Okay.
Because of the, you know, how friendly. And this isn't me saying Aaron Judge is having the most amazing season I've seen in a long time since Barry Bonds.
Bobby Witt only has 30.
So that's what it would be. If he was in New York, 8 of those fly balls that were outs in Kansas City. And I know, look, this is one of those statistics that really doesn't hold water when you're talking about it because there's no, but I'm just trying to tell you the importance of the stadium you're playing in and how it can help.
410-583-1057 is the number. Mike Bordick joins us at 845. But on the other side, I want to hear from you. Who are the Orioles, the team that started off at 42-22 or the team that has now won 40 out of the last 81? That's a half season. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:31 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Who are the Baltimore Orioles?
Wow, that's perfect
timing. The team over the last 81 games or the team that started the season 20 games over 500? A game under 500 for 81, a game over 500 to start, or 20 games over 500 to start the season. Let's go out to the phone lines, 410-583-1057.
Are we watching CSI or not?
Let's go to Kevin in Ellicott City. What's up, Kevin?
Morning, fellas. What's good?
Not much, man. What's up with you?
Not a whole lot. Heading up the road to Frederick to do some work today. But Rob, we came out the box like a fireball, my friend. And unfortunately, we're a sub-500 team at the moment. We're lacking offense big time. And to me, from out here in the stands, our guys look absolutely gassed. And I don't think we're going to have what it takes for the way it's going.
Who eliminates
them? I'll be honest with
you. Who eliminates them?
I mean, anybody probably at this point.
I mean, give me a team that's playing well. Who eliminates them?
I'm not saying all the other teams are playing well either. I'm just saying that I think you could go through a host of teams. I mean, Tampa Bay just beat us.
See,
Tampa Bay's not going to the playoffs.
But no, to Kevin's point too. Like you're going to look at your team. You're watching them more and more. You feel like you have a better feel for them.
And I'm trying to bring some sanity to it.
You're absolutely right. But what I'm saying is, like, if we had a Kevin in New York, they'd be saying the same damn thing about the Yankees.
And if I was up there, I'd try to bring some sanity to it.
I don't know about that.
In the National League, I could tell you right now.
I think New York, Rob, is somebody I don't want to work with.
If you tell me the Dodgers aren't going to win at all, I could tell you up front, yeah, because the Phillies are going to beat them. I know the Phillies are the best team in the National League. I could be wrong about that, but I got an opinion about who the best. I don't have an opinion about who's the best team in the American League. There's no evidence that suggests to me that anybody is better than the Orioles right now in the American League. Yeah. There's evidence that suggests to me, I believe right now as we stand, the New York Mets could knock off any team in the National League because of how they're playing.
I think the Astros right now would be the answer to that for some people, for a lot of people. Some people might say New York, but the thing about the Astros, too, is you look at how you match up. And I've said to you, look, I bet he gets a start in the postseason, but I don't think Justin Verlander should be starting for the Astros in the postseason. I think it should be Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, and Yusei Kikuchi.
Kikuchi.
Thank you. In no particular order there either. But if you're matching the Orioles three up with those three, I feel comfortable. I feel good about that. The only thing that scares me is that there's two lefties in there, and I don't like the Orioles lineup against left-handed pitching.
Here's what's wrong with the Astros. The Astros are a team that lost 6 out of 8. And then won 5 in a row, and now I've lost 4 out of 6.
Yeah, and they just got back Kyle Tucker, which will help.
That's who they are.
So, like, again, that's why I agree with Rob that if you're sitting here trying to poke holes in the Orioles, I'm listening to you. They're going to be a vastly different team in the next 2 weeks with guys getting healthy. It's just a matter of are they healthy enough, come back, and they look like themselves before? Does it take a while to ramp up? Again, that's my big question with Jordan Westberg when he comes back. Is he going to get any time to kind of get some at-bats in real games to kind of, you know?
They are everything the listeners say they are, the Orioles are. I'm not disputing your observation of who the Orioles are. I'm disputing you telling me they're going to be one and done in the playoffs. I'm disputing that because there's no one in the playoff that's in the playoff hunt right now that you can convince me better than the Orioles. No one. Antonio and Rosedale. What's up, Antonio? Hello? Antonio? Oh, we lost him. Let's go to Joe in Baltimore. What's up, Joe?
Joe. Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, I just wanted to piggyback off the last guy. I think the Orioles, man, they definitely look gassed right now. And my hope is that when we do get some guys healthy and the closer we get to the playoffs, they'll start to get a little bit energized. But, Rob, you know, I hear what you're saying. You keep saying, like, we are who we are, and you agree with the fans, but then your rebuttal is who's going to beat us. And I feel like every single team that's not playing well, when they play the Orioles, they play well. Every team that's not playing well right now when they play us is beating us because we are who we are. We lack bullpen. We lack hitting. So even though those teams aren't playing well, when they play the Orioles, they end up playing well because of what we lack and our deficiencies are. So I hear what you're saying, but at the end of the day, we can't beat anybody. Even the bad teams are beating us. And when we do face these playoff teams, even though they're playing bad, I feel like they're beating us too because of what we're lacking.
All right, thanks a lot for the call, man. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. The Yankees have lost 3 out of 4 to the Orioles in the series. The Orioles then went to New York and lost 2 out of 3. Then the Orioles came to back home to Baltimore, took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees.
Yeah. Well, again, it's a lot of mediocre teams right now. It's a matter, like, We always say that the best team doesn't always win the Super Bowl. The best team doesn't always win the World Series.
The team is playing the best.
It's the team that gets hot at the right time. Yeah. And in all honesty, with a series, you know, instead of just having one singular game in the postseason or in the Super Bowl, I think usually the best team does come out of those series.
I agree. No doubt about that. But I agree wholeheartedly.
But the thing is, like, we don't know what this Orioles team is going to... You can't tell me there's not going to be a vast difference if Mountcastle, Westberg, Colom, Webb, Grayson Rodriguez all come back.
And you're
adding five players that you expect to be everyday players for you.
And I also believe that the Orioles, in terms of the American League East, been there, done that. I think they're more inclined to go into the postseason healthy than they are going all out to win the AL East. Been there, done that. Let's go to Quinn and Laurel. What's up, Quinn?
So, I mean, I think the Orioles are they're struggling, man. Like, the pitching is starting to come there a little bit, but not last night. I mean, they really need to get some back.
Quinn said, not last night.
Not last night. But they need to get the bats right. You know what I mean? Like, I think Mountcastle coming back might help. I think Urias, even though he's not even known as a hitter, he was the hottest hitter on our team before he got hurt. Like, I don't know, man. I feel like they can win a series, maybe, if they can get the right starters going. But, yeah, man, it's looking bad right now.
Well, as somebody...
Not last night.
So, I think Joe had some text, too. But, like, I got a message from somebody saying, like, the same thing I just said. Grayson Rodriguez, Zach Eflin, and Corbin Burns, I think you can match up with any three in baseball. And again, that's hoping that Corbin Burns looks more like we've seen him recently than those three or four previous starts. But time will tell. And then when you get back Colom, Mountcastle, Westberg, and Webb, like, come on, man. Because in the postseason, all four of those guys can be used every day. Like, you don't have to rest your best bullpen pieces with the way it's set up because you're going to play 2 days and then have an off day. Then you'll play two more and then have an off day. You know, like, that's the way that things are usually set up, unless I'm missing something about the playoff race. But, like, in all honesty, let's say they kind of condense the games a little bit more. Then you might not be able to use one of those guys for one game in the series. Like, your bullpen pieces should be the same guys coming out almost every single night, depending on matchups.
You got some, you said text, Joe?
Yeah, here's one. It's actually amazing they're still in the race with all of the players on the IL this year. That being said, I think they are what they are, mediocre.
I agree with the first part of what his text is. And the last part, right now they are playing mediocre baseball. You can't argue against that. You can't. But I agree with him. I said before, and I know Brandon Hyde gets a lot of criticism, and I'm not saying it's not justified. It's not warranted, Jeremy. But I think I would argue that Brandon Hyde's doing a better job this year than he did last year when he won the American League Manager of the Year. Mm-hmm. And he deserved it last year. But I would argue that, you know, they went into last night playing 500 baseball with all those injuries. I mean, come on.
The only other team that has as many injuries as the Orioles is the Braves, and they're hanging on for dear life right now. And I would say that the Braves have had it worse with the significance of injuries they've had.
Yeah, let's hope that we never have that much of a significant injury.
But like, the Orioles have had a lot. Like, somebody put together saying, you realize you could put together a pretty good team with all the guys.
Yeah, I was saying it the other day, last week. Think about who's hurt. That's a rotation and a lineup. That's the heart of your lineup for most other teams, from playoff teams. 410-583-1057 is the number. We're talking Ravens at 9 o'clock. Do you see Sunday's game as must win? On the other side, we'll ask Mike Bordick, who are the real Orioles? Will they please stand up? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 8:47 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris is on medical leave. So Mike Bordick joins us from Baltimore Baseball tonight. Good morning to you, Mike.
Rob, how are you, man? Before we get started with this baseball talk, I just want to tell Ed that I'm thinking about him. Hope he heals up just fine.
You know, he never said that when I was out. And I don't know about
no,
when you
I
were
did.
Out.
I, oh, well, you did? I thought it anyway, Jeremy. I thought it.
I love Gordon.
Mike, we asked this question a little bit early. I want to ask you. The Orioles right now, since June 10th, are 40-41. They started off 42-22. What team are they really, in your opinion?
Well, they're a 500 team without a lot of their players, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think this is a pretty good excuse, you know, the injuries that have set them back. And I think what it does is it kind of opens your eyes to when every year we start talking about baseball, it always comes down to the depth of the organization. Not the frontline players. It's always the depth that helps get teams over the hump and into the postseason, and hopefully they can heal up enough. And the Orioles are kind of in that situation where I think they realize, wow, I know we traded away some of our prospects, but there aren't enough guys to back up when somebody really goes down. I mean, they're counting on Jackson Holliday and Kobe Mayo to pick up the offensive slack. These guys are, one's 20 years old, the other one's 22 after signing out of high school. I mean, man, oh man, you talk about some guys that need a little bit more development. So, you know, they're putting a lot of pressure on some of these young guys right now, and I know it's a little too late to go out and get some backup guys, but they're counting on guys getting healthy, and that's it. And I think
I don't know, Mike. Mike, you got anything in you? I mean, you know, nobody owns your contract. You can't go in there and give them 20 games?
No, man, I can't make that big throw. These guys throw too hard anyway. I got no chance of playing in this league.
They thought Rob could, and then they saw his first pitch and said, hell no, we ain't doing
that. Yeah, but should we talk about that a little bit? Come on, Rob. Let's go, man. Get those mechanics down a little bit.
Shut up, Mike.
Look at that. Hey, Mike, in all seriousness, looking at this team and the offensive struggles, what do you think it means if they get Jordan Westberg back? Because I'm sitting here arguing with some guy that's like, hey, they just missed all their players a month ago. Well, you had a bunch of guys go out right there in August, right after the trade deadline. People keep talking about their record since when? The trade deadline. Yeah, these guys have had an impact. But what are your thoughts on Westberg and what he could do to help this lineup?
Yeah, well, when they get Norby back, I think that's going to – oh, wait a second. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to bring something up like that. No, now listen, Westberg is a force in this offense. He was one of the most underrated players. Thank goodness he made the All-Star team to finally get himself on the map a little bit. He was the most clutch offensive player the Orioles had, constantly giving consistent at-bats. They miss that right now in this lineup. They need another grinder in there. You know, every now and then a guy will step up. It was nice to see Urias get hot for a while and really help carry the team through. Cedric Mullins getting hot. Really helping, but they just need more consistent at-bats throughout the lineup. Getting Westberg back is going to be a huge lift. And what about, do we not talk about Ryan Mountcastle anymore? That guy's been out, man. This gives this lineup more versatility. You know, Mountcastle may not be hitting for the power that we all hope for, but he's still a force, and he's an aggressive swinger that can disrupt, you know, an opposing team. He runs the bases really well. You know, getting those two guys back could give them enough of a jolt, I think, offensively. It's just, when are we going to get those guys back, you know? And I think we're still counting on some stability in the bullpen, getting Colon back, obviously, and another couple arms, and Rodriguez as well. So, yeah, we're all hanging our hats on the IL right now and hope guys can come back and contribute. And you always worry about, well, this much time off, they haven't seen competitive pitching, they haven't pitched competitively, you know, for a while. So how are they going to respond? This is such an intriguing kind of mystery to me, because it's not just the Orioles. There are more teams that are playing like the Orioles right now than not. And I think they're all kind of hoping that they can get healthier here down the stretch, somehow create a little momentum going into the postseason. You know, if some of these teams can even hang on and make it into the postseason, I think the Orioles are in a really good spot to hang on and make it in the postseason. But I think these guys just have to figure out a way to overcome, you know, play a little bit better than 500, try to feel a little bit better going in, because I don't think there are many happy players right now. You know, Gunnar Henderson just got player of the week, but my gosh, that guy looks like he's about to rip somebody's head off every night. He's so upset they're losing. So, you know, you got to just find a way to overcome a little bit, and hopefully one or two guys step up, some unsung heroes, I guess, if you will, to really help this team. O'Hearn's got to get hot again. And, of course, we're kind of tired talking about Adley, trying to get him going too. So it was nice to see him get a couple hits last night.
Somewhere in that long answers we're here with Mike Bordick, you said you touched on something that I said a little bit earlier, Mike, because you get a little long with it there. But
man, you put the shield up so fast when somebody talks about your throwing or your golf game. Let's go, man.
No, I didn't put the shield up. I owned it. I bounced it. Like a Mary Franklin, I bounced.
Mike, he tried to hold up. He said the Oriole bird called it a strike, so I threw a strike. I was like, Enrico Palazzo would have have called it a strike too. It don't matter.
Hey, Mike, you know how it is playing at the rain delay, man. It was a rain delay, bro. I mean,
I feel you there.
Come on, man. I mean, I loosened up at 53. You know, you can't loosen again. But anyway, you talked about it, and I said this earlier. People call it saying Orioles can get bounced in the first round. And my response was, by who? Tell me, in American League, who is that lockdown team that you can say unequivocally, if the Orioles faced them in a three-game wild card series or whatever, that they would bounce the Orioles? Because right now, no one is looking like that team in the American League. Do I want the Orioles to play better? Yes. And hopefully they get some of these healthy guys back. But if you look at the landscape of the American League, the Orioles look like everybody else that's going to the postseason.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is the deal, okay? The team that's going to win is the team that isn't truly hanging their hat on the hopes of a guy coming back and getting them over the top, okay? You got to figure out how to play with what you've got. You've got to learn how to press the right buttons. I know Brandon Hyde is really, all season long, he's been mixing up the lineup to find some sort of consistency. But you got to find a way. You got to get back to situational baseball and those quality ABs, right? And you got to do it with who you have right now. So this team's really got to figure it out, because there are no guarantees that even when Westberg comes back or Mountcastle comes back, or even the pitchers that we talk about, that they're going to be on their game and instant contributors. It takes a little time to get that rhythm and timing of this game, as we've all seen. So, you know, they've got to figure it out right here. On the fly, they need a big bounce-back game up in Boston. It seems like they always play well up there.
Yeah.
They got to get off hot again, and they got to get their foot on this Red Sox lineup and keep them down. So everybody's got to kind of step up. It would be nice if they could right the ship just a little bit better and play some more consistent baseball to help them feel more confident going in. We just can't wait for help. We've got to start doing it on our own.
Bordy, do you think Corbin Burns has turned that corner? He had a couple of rough starts. Last few have been good. They just haven't scored runs for him. What are your thoughts on watching Burns here recently?
Yeah, you know, I know his last outing was much better, and it seemed like he had better control. And I know we've kind of given him a little bit of a buffer, right? Oh, he's a veteran guy, so he's figuring out how to pitch the contact. I'm a little concerned that his strikeouts are so down. I worry about that.
Hey, Mike, can I stop you for 1 second? I said,
oh, my gosh, am I getting too long-winded?
No, no, no.
I haven't even explained myself.
I said to Jeremy that I felt like his struggles were because he was trying to find a way to get outs without the strikeouts, because the strikeouts were down so much.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so, okay, I won't even have to explain myself. You already did that.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Ask a guest to come on and
don't
let him answer.
You won this one, okay? You got it. No, but it's true, though. It really is, man. I think he's got to get back to that dominating self, man, and go with his punch-out pitches, you know, that power slider, that cutter working off the outside corner. Yeah, pitching the you see what soft contact does. These guys find a way to get the bat on the ball, because they know they got to grind against a guy like Corbin Burns. So the soft contact's going to eat him up. So punch-outs are good. Punch-outs are much better in the big league.
Are you afraid that maybe he's lost that punch-out ability?
No, because I think his stuff is there.
Okay.
I think his stuff is there. I mean, it looks like he's got a really good curveball. The questionable stuff is the command at times. You wonder where it goes. It's just not quite as sharp or not quite as nasty on certain pitches that give guys a chance to actually put the bat on the ball. Maybe the elevation of the pitch or the sequencing. Guys are starting to figure that stuff out. So, you know, even for veteran guys, it's a constant game of adjustments. But I think he's got enough life on his fastball, the ability to mix pitches. I mean, how do you freaking stay on that hard slider? I don't understand it. So I think he has the ability. I don't see that his game has dropped off that much. I just think he's trying to reinvent himself as a pitcher, and it might be too soon for that, because I think his stuff is still good.
So you'll be back next week during the home stretch in Baltimore baseball tonight?
Yes, sir, man. I'm on for like a couple weeks. I'm looking forward to it, following this team down to the end.
Why do you take so much time off, Mike?
Oh, man. Jeez.
Well, it's just written into my contract. You know, I need days to get vitamin D out in the sun, things like that.
I just feel bad.
Really,
he tried to call you Jim Palmer Jr. is what he's basically saying. Ask one question, just let Mike go. That was it.
Yeah, I have had some loose lips lately. I will promise I'll slow it down. Rob, I know you need this airtime more than I do right now.
I love Gordy. Such a Richard. Hey, Mike. Thanks a lot, my man.
All right, you guys. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, before we head out next hour, we're going to be giving away, I think I've said his name seven different ways, Sebastian Maniscalco tickets, September 28th, Capital One Arena. So next hour, when we tell you to call in, you call in. We'll give away a pair of tickets.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I know it's funny because how will you meet the pro athletes, what you thought about them is not what you... Mike Bordig always thought he was like this ultra-conservative guy that would be offended if you joke with him. And it's like the 180 away from what you thought about him.
He's great, man.
Daily Line at 9:30, but on the other side, do you see Sunday's game as must-win for the Baltimore Ravens? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.